The Blind Ambition with Jack Kelly is brought to you by Mop Squad. Look, nobody likes to be rejected, especially for an H-1B visa. If you're unsuccessful in the upcoming H-1B lottery, our friends at Mop Squad have a solution for you. They can help you stay in North America and continue supporting your current company from Canada. They can obtain a Canadian work permit and relocate you and your family in just 4 weeks. Get in touch at mobsquad.io/blindambition. That's mobsquad.io/blindambition.
So today we have an alert. We have an emergency podcast. Today we're going to talk about what's going on with Glassdoor. I'm not sure if you guys have checked into it or familiar with this drama, but Rick's going to kind of give you some insight to how a brand name could just implode and just blow up when they don't appreciate the people who are on the site and maybe even take advantage of the people on the site. Rick is the expert in this whole field, being it blind, so he understands how these communities work, you know, when you post anonymously. And it seems that Glassdoor and its sister company, Fishbowl, expose people and their names, which is not too cool. So, Rick, maybe you could share what happened, what's going on, what people should know about, and what should people be concerned about their own identities online.
So, Glassdoor is a very popular website where you could provide reviews about your current company or previous companies you've worked at, share their employee benefits, like how good their payments are for, you know, health insurance, compensation, interview advice. And for the longest time, Glassdoor was anonymous. You didn't have to put in your real name or, you know, job title or even your current employer. Now, this week, reporting from Ars Technica and Wired has shown that has changed. So it seems like Glassdoor has changed their policy to actually require the collection of real names, full names, job titles, and current employers. And that has to do with their acquisition of the Fishbowl app a few years ago, which they've since recently integrated and rebranded into their app to be more of a community style app. And because Fishbowl collected this information previously, they still want to collect this information now. And so you see these news reports of different folks that maybe haven't visited Glassdoor for a while, and now they've come back. There's been, you know, a lot of layoffs. The job market is kind of wonky. People are exploring that again. And so imagine your surprise if, you know, you've used Glassdoor a few years ago, and now you log in, and you actually can't X out of a box when you log into Glassdoor now without providing your real name, because this company now has a real name policy. Ars Technica, they interviewed one person that was chatting with the customer service at Glassdoor, and because her name was, you know, in her email address in the from field, Glassdoor actually took that information and added it to the back end of that user profile and said, oh, well, you know, jazzyboy123@gmail.com. That's actually Rick Chen. He's actually emailed us. So now that I know jazzyboy123@gmail account with Glassdoor, I'm going to actually put on the back end Rick Chen. That is a bit scary for some, because if you imagine there's a security incident or maybe a legal request for Glassdoor, now they have that real name, and could they be compelled to give it to a third party, an employer, in a legal request, or what happens if it ends up on the dark web somehow? That could be scary for a lot of people that trusted in the service to be anonymous.
But isn't there also another issue too, where if somebody posts, and let's say with Glassdoor, you're making a comment about a company, whether they're good or bad, and then they realize, hey, Jack posted some really horrible thing about such and such company, then I could be a target. How dare he? And let's get him in trouble at his company. That's just one example. But by stripping away the anonymity, and now you're, especially on a site where you're going to say, hey, I had a good experience with this company, I had a bad experience with another company, then why would anyone talk about it? Because it's just going to end up getting yourself in trouble. right? So it just doesn't make sense what they're doing.
There is a fear for some Glassdoor users of retaliation from former or even current employers if they've left a review for those employers on the site. That's exactly right. It isn't clear from the news reporting that real names are showing up visibly on the, you know, website itself. All of these instances where real names have been added to Glassdoor systems have been on the user profiles or kind of the backend server database. And that is a potential. Is there a moment where Glassdoor decides to be semi-anonymous or non-anonymous, does start to show this data that they've collected elsewhere? You know, their privacy policy in terms of service changes give the company the right to use sources such as, you know, Glassdoor is a job-seeking website, so you can actually upload your resume. And, you know, most people, if not everyone, they put their real name and contact information on their resumes. And so Glassdoor says, oh, well, we can use the name and that contact information in any data that you provide us, including resumes that you've uploaded. Well, that could harm a lot of job seekers and maybe lead them to retaliation or, you know, legal requests and getting punished that way or found out that way. It is scary for a lot of people.
You know, it seems like it's a disturbing new trend. I don't know if you've noticed on LinkedIn, but often when I post something, they'll say, hey, do you want to verify your account? Do you want to verify your name? Like, leave me the hell alone. Stop bothering me. Like, why do you want to get more and more? It's enough that I post so much on the site that you have all my material and like you want more. So what's going on here? I don't want to get over my skis, but it is a little dystopian. Why can't we just, you know, if we want to be anonymous and talk about things honestly, let us do it. Stop nudging us, right? Stop annoying, stop bullying us to say, no, verify everything. Am I wrong? Am I crazy? Am I a conspiracy theorist guy? Or like, am I just a normal person saying, leave me alone?
I think there's a place for everything, right? If you are writing a review about a restaurant, does it make sense for you to have to provide your full name? Probably not, right? It doesn't necessarily matter. Does it matter that Rick Chen versus, you know, Jazzy123 ate at this restaurant? Probably not. And not for the users of that website either, right? Now, is there an issue of kind of fake reviews or fake profiles, which is probably what LinkedIn wants to solve with their verification? Maybe. I mean, I think it only becomes a problem in this like employer space if these folks start to apply for jobs. And if they apply for jobs, they're going to have to show up, right? And so Rick Chen has to actually show up to work on that first day if he applies for a job. And I think that kind of solves that need for verification. So, you know, line, and this is maybe admittedly a bit self-serving, but we've always thought we can be anonymous and verify, right? So we can verify your workplace so you don't, you know, say that you're a lawyer and start giving everyone bad legal advice, or, you know, say that you work somewhere and start making things up about that company's policies or practices. But that's actually all we need. You know, we don't really need your real name to be able to do that. We don't even need your email address after we've seen, like, oh yeah, at bloomberg.net. Yeah, you work at Bloomberg. That's fine. And then get rid of your email. We've always believed in just having what's actually minimally required for a great user experience. You know, we find on these online communities, users just want enough verification to have that added context, right? To trust a little bit more what someone is saying. You know, of course, every statement, every post, every comment, every review, they have to stand up on their own. You know, people are just naturally savvy. They're smart and intelligent, and they can be that judge. And we just want to provide that little extra and saying, hey, this person is actually a verified JP Morgan Chase employee. You can kind of trust what they're saying, maybe about their bank or the company's policies.
Yeah, it totally makes sense, because if I think what happens for a lot of people, let's take X, for example, right? Formerly known as Twitter, is that if everybody had to be verified, they wouldn't be able to speak their mind. And if you can't speak your mind, it's kind of censorship, because you have to worry that if I say something, let's say, for this political party or that political party, for whatever the cause du jour is about. If I'm not on the right side and they have all my information and my address and my phone number and where I live, it's kind of crazy. If you are concerned, like what your boss will say, what the company will say, what other people say, you deserve some protection, right? It seems reasonable.
I certainly think so. You can actually take a look at some countries overseas where their laws, they have a bit more limited free speech than we might have in the United States. And some of these social media profiles or online accounts, you actually have to sign up with kind of your passport number or their equivalent of a national ID number or a social security number or your cell phone number, right? Which is linked to all of these things on the back end. And they have these laws to prevent, you know, slander or libel or bullying. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is these terms are very vague and general. What constitutes bullying now might be different or might not be the same a year from now or even a few months from now, because these norms, these current events, they change. These public leaders and what they care about and how they interpret the law, they might change as well. And that becomes a very scary proposition, right? Where actually, they know this is Rick and this is my exact passport number or my registered phone number. They could find my address and all of that stuff elsewhere. And I could get, you know, kicked in the butt later for it.
I mean, we're human beings. We want our privacy. We want our dignity. And we don't need a big brother, or big sister watching over us all the time. And this is just like one other example of saying, hey, we really don't care about the individual. Just we want to know everything about you because that's going to give us more power and more control. And that's going to also make us have less of a voice because we're going to be scared to say things because of the possible repercussions.
If you look at Blind's histories, one of our top markets in the world is South Korea, where they actually have this kind of law where, you know, can you imagine being a 16-year-old and you're signing up for Instagram and you have to provide your cell phone number to be able to leave an online comment to one of your friends because you need to provide that information in case, you know, there's online bullying or something happens. Law enforcement, that company, needs to and wants to be able to say, hey, this comment, Bazzy123, is actually Rick Chan. And that's why Blind became really popular, because our sign-in process, it's literally an email address and a password. We only use your email address to verify your workplace. After you've signed up, we actually don't store your email address. We never ask for your name, certainly no passport number, social security number, or anything like that. So you imagine in Korea where you have that immediate feedback and see it in real time. Wow, this is a social media platform that doesn't ask for this information. It's completely anonymous. Other big boys there in Korea, this is great, right? And because we can do that as an American company. And we have respect for free speech.
Yeah, it's really wild. It does. You know, one of the reasons why I was drawn to Blind, because of the zeitgeist of what you have there, in that it's kind of more of a libertarian. I don't know if the founders kind of looked at it that way, but it does have that feel, this more libertarian type of mindset where, hey, just leave us alone. Let us do what we want to do, say what we want to say, do what we want to do. And we don't need you interfering and bothering us and chastising, and let us just be on, you know, we'll say what we want to say. Of course not, but within reason. And then to me too, think about this in a bigger picture. Sometimes you look at it and people could say, oh, big deal, Blind. What? I'm not a store. And if people don't stand up for themselves, and we have to fight back and have our, you know, and have the ability to say what we want to say without being fearful of the repercussions. So it becomes, to me, a way larger issue, like a big issue that affects everybody. Like, no one is immune from it. Everybody. So this is something that people should rally behind and say, hey, wait a minute. This, you know, we should support places. And again, this is self-serving too, that are open, they're honest. You could talk freely. You could say what you want to say without any worries about retaliation. And that's a big thing, because if you don't have it, it has a silence effect. It's a chilling effect. So then people aren't going to, it's going to be like, you know, otherwise you're in big trouble.
One thing that I take pride in is that nearly everyone has the ability to think critically, mm-hmm. and they exercise that function every single day. In the end of the day, speech, good speech just beats out bad speech, right? And so if you look at blind, we don't think that we really need to limit much kinds of speech beyond the most obvious, because it's a professional network, right? And so Glassdoor, maybe they should take a lesson. If someone is coming to your website to provide critical feedback or seek that critical feedback, anonymity is pretty important. And along the way, they forgot that part of their business, or they forgot that part of their community, that their users actually value that service. And if it's a professional service, you're really invested in the output, right? And so someone's not going to put in garbage, because then they're going to get garbage out. And you magnify that by millions of visitors every single day. That crowdsource model is actually mostly accurate and works out pretty well. Maybe Glassdoor, they forgot that over time, our actual product is not really the employers that we're selling to, but we actually need the users, the community, to feel trusted, to participate, so that we can actually have a business to then work with employers, right? It's almost like they forgot step A rather than wanting to just focus on kind of like the step B, the step C. They forgot that everything builds on each other.
I agree. It's so crazy, because if let's say today I would go, whether it's Blind or any other place, right? And I put down there that, hey, I think ABC Industries is horrible. I used to work there. The people are terrible. They did X, Y, and Z. The CEO is having an affair with his assistant and so forth, right? And let's say it's 100% true, right? All true.
Yeah.
And now when I look for another job and somebody from the HR department looks at my posting, they're going to say, I'm not going to hire this guy, Jack. Look what he said. So he's going to probably say the same thing about our company if he would, you know, join us and then leave one day. So once again, it's that chilling effect that you really can't be open and honest, because if you are open and honest and you want to find another job, that'll be held against you. And I can tell you this with like just so much experience, because what happens is that if somebody says something that kind of is deemed inappropriate and you're going to interview, they're going to look at your social media print. They're going to check out your background. They're going to see like, is this going to be a problem person? And then there'll be repercussions. You're not going to get the offer. You're not going to get the interview.
No, that's exactly right. And the communication silos that just naturally exist among people, right? Like how many times at work when they send out an employee engagement survey and then the company brags about the results saying like, oh, like 90% of people or 100% of people say this. And you kind of think critically and say, that can't be true, right? Like every day at lunch, we complain about this policy, yet they've somehow read it in a way, or, you know, folks have answered in a way because they're scared of that, you know, repercussions from their manager or HR, who can probably kind of circle in and find out who you are. That exercise doesn't become useful anymore.
It's so funny. It's so true. Because like, you get this too as a PR person. You know, you get all these pitches about, hey, here's like a survey that, you know, X percent are happy here. I'm like, come on, this is not true. They're just saying it because even if they, you know, because they're saying it because they're worried that the person who's running this survey or the HR person or the manager executive is going to kind of somehow find out that you said it and then you're in trouble. So of course, like, yes, boss, you're the best. I give you the best ranking. Yes, everything is wonderful here. Everything is great. But if you're able to do it anonymously, because like these, I think, you know, they know who's saying what. They can tell. I mean, come on, it's not so sophisticated, these like surveys and these micro surveys you send out. So they know who's saying what. And unfortunately, they have to worry like, oh, no, what's going to happen? We're going to be in a battle, right? Where there's going to be this group that wants free speech and to be able to say what they want to say. To kind of tie it up, what's your take? Like, what now happens with Glassdoor? Because once as a PR executive, you know, who's worked at really top you know, organizations and currently top organization. What happens when you kind of, I don't want to be melodramatic and say like betrayed the confidences, but like once it feels like maybe you betrayed your confidences in terms of you feel like I'm going to post and nothing happened. Now my name is out there and I have to worry. What happens next? How does this play out? How do they mend fences? Could they ever mend fences? Or is like one of those things like, I'm going on a trip. I'm going to California. I'm worried of going on a Boeing, like flight, you know? So like once something happens, right? Like screws loose, I'm not going to lie, a little bit concerned. What would you do, Rick? Like, can you fix it? Or this is like irrevocable?
This is my advice as a PR professional. Yeah. Glassdoor could have done two things. One is when these reporters were first breaking the story, you know, as part of their news reporting, as part of their due diligence, they reach out to the company and they seek your comment. The first thing that I would have said is just immediately reject and deny it and say, hey, no, we don't show people's real names. If you go right now to their website and you look at company reviews, they're still anonymous. If you look at why the reporter's asking a question, it's about they want to see if we're protecting user identities, right? And what we're going to do with the real names. And so that's actually the first problem that you want to answer. And they kind of missed the boat there. And so they lost that trust and all these stories in this negative news cycle happened. And now when you have this negative news cycle, my recommendation would be go direct. Don't use the reporters anymore. Don't use the media. Just go directly to your customers and speak one to many with them and say, hey, look, you might have seen this. This is what happens. We don't do XYZ. And really acknowledge the concerns that some users have up front and then share your solution, right? And saying, we're going to change the privacy policy, the terms of service in response, or be very clear in what you're actually doing and say, we promise we have never shown your real name and we will never show your real name. This is might be why we collect it, but being upfront and being direct, going directly to the consumer so that they can't misinterpret it, right? Where it's coming directly from you and not through a third party. So you can hopefully rebuild that trust. And then the next thing after is you really have to show you've changed the behavior, right? So it's not just sorry and you keep doing it again, but it's sorry, we hear you, we see you, we've done this. Look at us and see how we've taken your feedback.
That makes a lot of sense. Did you find, even with the best of intents, sometimes it just lingers, it stays in people's mind, no matter what you say or do? You know, like, for instance, I wasn't kidding about, I'm a little nervous, right? I think most people, if they were honest, they would say, hey, yeah, it's a little scarier than it was before. So it kind of stays in your mind. Does that happen with a place like Glassdoor? You think that then people, even if you do a mea culpa and you do a charm offensive and everything, that people still worry, do you still have my name though? Do you still have my address? Do you still have my resume? And now do I still have to worry? Does that just linger on, you think? Is that a tailwind effect that's just going to keep going?
I mean, it could, right? Like, yeah. Going forward, Glassdoor has to be very careful.
Yeah.
About what they do and how they communicate their privacy practices. Because people, once they've seen these types of stories, once they've seen these kind of events play out, they're going to be pattern matching, right? So for example, with Boeing, the first two planes that had, the door fly off or, the other incident with like the window, I believe. Now everyone, reporters included, folks on social media, they're saying like, well, those first two incidents, they're really rare, but these two things are kind of scary. And now everyone is kind of looking at like, anything that happens with a plane, is it a Boeing or is it an Airbus? And in the US, Boeing is an American company. Many US airlines fly Boeings. And so we're more exposed to incidents where Boeing has an issue. And then suddenly you start thinking, that's another Boeing thing. Well, it actually might be the airline that hasn't maintained the plane properly or something extraordinarily one in a million chance. But because we're pattern matching and we keep saying plane goes wrong, is it Boeing? Yes. that chain of thought keeps happening over and over and over again. And now, you know, it leads to folks like you and me that are concerned or a little scared of getting on a Boeing plane. So I think they need to be very careful. And this is just any company dealing with kind of PR issue or crisis, is to really prevent that chain of thought from even developing or building, right? And let it be this one and done and say, hey, you know, we have to be angels going forward in terms of anonymity and privacy and security, right? We have to make sure that people don't associate and lose that trust in us. It's like these airlines and Boeing, they need to be 110% super, super sure that their planes, their parts are going out and being safe.
Rick, can I ask you just one last question? Do you feel that there could be something else at work? That sometimes you have these companies that become large and doing really well and successful, and then they lose sight of their own customers. Because whether the Boeing example or Glassdoor, it seems like, I don't want to say no one cares, but you would think with those large organizations, they would be more on top of it, right? Is that a kind of a thing that just happens a lot? Where do you see that? And is that disconnect? And sometimes you do need a blow up to make them realize, oh no, like we really dropped the ball. We got to get back to basics.
I think over time, especially as companies or even organizations get larger, they start to think of their community, of their users, their customers. They take them for granted. Right? Yeah. If you look at this Glassdoor incident, what really sparked this whole series of news reporting was a customer service inquiry where they hid behind legal language and hid behind certain policies and stuck to their guns and said, this is our policy. This is what we do. This is our policy. This is what we do. If you don't get it, I think the exact words in that inquiry, Ars Technica reported, is we consider this matter closed, right? They literally said that to a user because, you know, they just kept repeating themselves and they didn't take a step back and have that empathy and say, what is this user? They might be asking this, but what are they actually concerned about? Oh, they're concerned about anonymity. They're concerned about the fear of retribution for contributions that they made on your site. This is very serious for that person because, you know, it's a matter of their well-being and living. I should maybe take it a bit more serious or have some empathy. Address things perhaps upfront sooner, not use some canned language, but the person instead said, we consider this issue closed and wouldn't respond to that person anymore. Well, that person decided to blog about their experience, and then it got picked up by a savvy reporter, and it turned into this negative news cycle. Whereas if that person, maybe if you can't change something, and you can just say, hey, I understand your concern, but I can tell you, your real name doesn't show up on our website. You know, this is just, you know, back-end stuff, or maybe even deciding to make an exception and deleting it for that person, right? Or not collecting that name from their email in the first place. You could have prevented all of this. I think many organizations following the letter of the law and the policies, is it the right thing to do? Maybe not. Back to what I was saying about critical thinking, if folks thought about those things more and had empathy for the other person and what they're actually trying to achieve or do, frankly, a lot of these business problems would be prevented.
I guess there's this, it's somewhat related, where these companies just push the envelope and don't care about their customers for a while, blows up. It's almost like a cycle, right? And then they realize they have to do it again. And then, right? It's a bizarre world.
Yeah, I think it really is. I mean, when I was working with customer service folks, I just said, hey, just think about being a reasonable person. That if that's your North Star, in most cases, problems don't happen. And I think most companies, they kind of lose sight of that, or they lose sight of original mission of what they're supposed to do, how they got popular in the first place.
Well, I appreciate walking everybody through what's going on, because being in that world, you have wonderful insights to how these community-based, you know, marketplaces work and what goes well and what blows up. So this, I think, for a lot of people who may have kind of, you know, how they see the headlines, but don't know really what's going on, I think you gave a really great analysis of what's happening. And I think we also gave some color and texture to the bigger picture. So
That's it for The Blind Ambition. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.